Today's shiur is Masechta Metziyah Daf Samach Vav. We will begin on Daf Samachay Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom. Hu gavra d'zom le'ar l'chavrei shloi v'achrayus. Somebody sold a piece of property to someone else without achrayus, which we've learned so many times achrayus means, that if normally I sell a piece of property, if a creditor of mine takes that property from you, achrayus says that he has recourse, the person who bought the property from me has recourse back to me for the value of the property that he bought. And as we have also learned this the way we show and explain the Gemara, achrayus tar sofer. If the achrayus clause is not in the shtar, we assume that it was an oversight by the cipher in not putting it in, because every transaction automatically has a chrayis. Here, however, we're referring to a situation where it was clearly stipulated between the buyer and the seller that there will not be any chrayis here. So I sold you a piece of property without any chrayis. Chazi, now the seller saw to have a ka'atzif, that the buyer was upset. Understandably, why? Because he bought himself a piece of property that he could lose without any recourse. Anyway, so I said to the buyer, Amayitzivus, don't be upset. Itarfalok minach, if this piece of property ends up being taken away from you, Magvinalach, I will compensate you, Shufra, from my best property, Shifcha, I'll not only compensate you for the value of the property, I'll compensate you for whatever improvements you put into the property, upiri, and I'll compensate you for whatever produce you lose from this property. So Mefarshim asked an obvious question. If I owe someone money, and then I sold a piece of property, and there's a lien on that piece of property, the only time my creditors will go to that piece of property is if they come to me first, and I have no way of paying off my creditors, then they'll go to the piece of property that I sold previously and collect from it. So, obviously, if we're going to have a situation where my buyer is going to lose the property to my creditors, I obviously don't have anything to pay back from. So how am I making promises that I'll pay you back for the property being taken away from you? I don't have from where to pay you. If I had, they would have taken it from me, not from you. Answer the Mefarshim, that our Gemara is referring to a situation of an apoiteki. An apoiteki means that I pledge this piece of property to a loan, I guess it would be called the first mortgage, and therefore, even if I have other assets, my creditors have a right to go to this property, and that's what the Gemara is referring to. Furthermore, point out Rashi and other Rishonim, there is no issue of ribis here if it ends up that you have the property and then you give it back to me but you're able to keep it and benefit from that interim period. Because the Rishonim explained the halacha views this as two separate transactions. One transaction is I sold you the property and now it's yours. And another transaction is that I'm buying back the property or buying back the rights, and they looked at two separate transactions. Amar Meimer, my promise to you, the halacha looks at, is betumei mila ba'alma. It's just meaningless words. I'm just saying it to pacify you, but it really has no halachic meaning. Amalei Rav Ashi l'meimer. Why? Tamamai. I said something of meaning. Why is the halacha considering it meaningless? Answers the Gemara. Kivan de lokeich by lisnuyeh. Who's the one that should have initiated this stipulation? The buyer. He's the one that's going to take a loss. The hocha moicha kamasni. And here we find that it's the seller who's initiating this deal. Amrit, it must be petuma milba amahu, that I'm just saying it, but I don't really mean it. So as the Rishonim, Tosfos and the other Rishonim, help us qualify the Gemara. Certainly, if this condition is made with all of the halachas that conditions come with, like we learned from the Tanai B'nai God B'nai Ruvain, Tanai Kofel, and all the other halachas, and I say Al-Manas, It doesn't make a difference if it's the seller or the buyer. It's a full-fledged condition. Here, the condition was not articulated with all of the halachas of Tanon. Tysus goes on to say, there are actually three stages in these negotiations. Tysus says, if this deal is stipulated at the beginning of our negotiations, then it doesn't make a difference who initiates this deal, the buyer or the seller. It's 100% a full-fledged deal. On the other hand, Tysus says, if it's stipulated after the negotiations, after the deal is done, certainly it's meaningless. If it's a signed, sealed, and delivered deal, it's a done deal. You can't open up negotiations. Tysus says Al-Gemara is referring to a situation where this happened at the end of the negotiations, and there the Gemara is drawing a distinction between if it's the buyer who it's to his benefit to have this deal initiates the deal, or it's the seller where he has nothing to gain, then we say it's betulei milah ba'alma. Ask the Gemara if there is indeed such a distinction. Elamas Nisa. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we quoted a braisa. The Tani, l'chishiyu l'mas, that if the buyer told the seller, as he sold him a property, he says, the buyer says to the seller, if you'll have money, achsalach, then I'll give you back the property and I'll take the field back. Mutter. There it's not considered an illegal transaction. The meicher who the buyer less nuye, following the line of reasoning in our Gemara, why isn't that a problem? Because again, that's a deal that the seller should have initiated. The meicher who the buyer less nuye, it should have been the seller who initiated. Meicher I asni, it's not the seller who we find in the braisa initiating this condition. It's the lekeach, it's the buyer who's initiating it. And that's why, based on what we're learning in today's shiur, if it's the seller, if it's the buyer, not the seller initiating it, we look at it as tulei mila, as meaningless word. Says the Gemara, but that's not what we learned in the previous shiur. We learned in the previous shiur, v'aminin, we asked in the previous shiur, maishna reisha maishna seifa, why does the braisa say if it's the seller who initiates it, we have a problem? Whereas if it's the buyer who initiates it, we don't have a problem. V'amarava, and Rava explained the difference between the Reish and the Seifa, is because the Seifa, the Amalei Midate, it's because as we learned, since when the buyer initiates it, it's a non-binding agreement. The buyer says, if I want, if you'll have money to give it back to you, I have the right to do it. So it's non-binding, that's why it's not a problem. Tama, the Amalei Midate. If we didn't have this factor to take into consideration, that it's not binding, we don't just say that because it's the buyer who initiated it, and he has nothing to gain from it, it must be meaningless words. So what the Gemara is asking is that what we learned in the previous shiur, at the end of the shiur, and what we're learning in today's shiur, are inconsistent. Yesterday's shiur, we learned the factor to take into consideration is the fact that this deal is non-binding. And today's shiur, we're learning the factor to take into consideration is that the person who initiated the deal has no benefit from it, and therefore we look at it as petulei milah. So what is pshat in the braisa? Answers the Gemara, amalei nasik amanda amalei midat etma. Rava and this Gemara are not really saying different things, says the Gemara. They're actually saying the exact same thing. Since it's non-binding, since he's not the one that should have initiated it, that's why it's meaningless. Says the Gemara along the same lines. Many times we find in Shas that a person who was very ill would write a get for his wife because he did not want his wife, they didn't have children, to be subject to Yibam Mechalitza. So he's writing the sketch for his wife because she doesn't want it to be open to be subject to Yivam Mechalitza. In get v'isnach. And as he's writing the get, he sighed because he's writing a get for his wife. He doesn't want to divorce her. Furthermore, if in mitzvah Hashem, halavai, he gets better, he'll be left without a wife. Amalei, amaykam misnachs. Why are you upset? Ikaimus, she said to him, if Hashem helps and you get better, the Dochana, I'll be happy to remarry you. Amrav Zvid, says again, Resvid, based on what we've been learning in today's shir, we look at this as meaningless words. Amalei, Rav Achim Adiftel Ravina, asks Rav Acha, Vila Petuli Mila, if not for the factor that we've learned this concept today, that when somebody says something where it's obvious what he's saying, it's just to pacify the other side, but there's really no meaning to what we're saying, it's meaningless. Why do we have to add this? Why do we have to introduce this concept? But the dog kaimel mizde tana, does she have the ability to make conditions? Begita and a get? We know that the entire driving force in a get is b'diday kaimel mizde tana. He can make conditions. She can make conditions. So why are we adding a factor here that because it's obvious that she didn't mean it? It's not because it's obvious that she didn't mean it or she did mean it. She's not in a position to make conditions in a get. Only the husband is in a position to make such conditions. Answers the Gemara. Ma the time who goofa adata the dog kamamar. Yes, he's relying on what she's saying. And based on her words, he's maybe making a condition. And then that is the basis for the get. For Yav Gita, he's giving the get based on the condition that she introduced. Kamash Malon, that if she said it, but he didn't say it, it's not halachically viewed as even a condition, and the get is a full-fledged condition, and what she said is meaningless. We learned in the Mishnah, Hovei Al Sadeu. So before we begin our sugya, we introduce with a number of words. We know that throughout Shastism, Shaila of Asmach the Kanya or Asmach the Loikanya. When somebody enters into a transaction where it's clear he never had intention for this to happen, is that considered invalid kinyan or not? Some say it's a valid kinyan, a smachta kanya. Other opinions, as we're learning now, shear hold a smachta loy kanya. In fact, in the concept of a smachta loy kanya, there's a machlok we show him how to understand a smachta loy kanya. Some say it's midaraisa, that in a smachta is an invalid kinyan. Others say midaraisa and a smachta is a kinyan. It's drabanan who said it's not a kinyan. What is the classical example of an smachta? The Gemara Masechta Bava Basra gives an example. The Gemara Masechta Bava Basra refers to such a situation. I owe somebody $1,000. He has a shtad that I owe him $1,000. I go and I pay him up $500. And now, who should hold the shtar? He shouldn't hold the shtar anymore because the shtar says I owe $1,000. But I don't owe $1,000 anymore. I only owe $500. On the other hand, I should not be giving back the shtar because I still owe $500. So I say to a third party, you hold the shtar. And I say to that party, if I don't pay up the balance, the $500 by whatever date I pick, give him back the shtar. What's my thinking? That I'm certain that I'm going to pay it up by that date. And therefore, I have no problem saying it. Had I had any havamina that I wouldn't pay up, I would have never said it. That's the situation with a smachta. And as I said, there's a machloik, a smachta kanya, a smachta loy kanya. Actually, the Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim already discussed this, how can we have a question of a smachta kanya, a smachta loy kanya? Of course, in a smachta kanya. Isn't every tanai in a smachta? Isn't every tanai in a smachta where I agree to a condition that I assume will happen, but I can't be sure what will happen? Why is this different? Why is it different, like I mentioned a number of moments ago, the source for all tanoim and halacha are b'nei God and b'nei Ruvain, where they made a condition? So the Mefarshim give a number of answers, all very relevant la'aloch l'maisa. Some say, an asmachta is only in a situation where I never thought that will come to it. And they got him, they Reuven accepted a condition that they were ready to accept, that they indeed will go out to war. Here, I never assumed that I'm not going to pay up in a timely fashion. Another teretz that's given is that an asmachta is something that's in my power. Something that's in someone else's power, it's not an asmachta, because I never knew I have full control. So here, again, using the example I gave, I assume that I'll pay up. It's in my power to pay. I always understand if it's somebody else's control that it's not an asmachta. There wasn't in their control the war, there were other parties involved in the war. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say, Taista says in our Amid, that even if we'll hold a smachta like Tanya, but if it's in front of a bezdin choshev, in front of a bezdin that you accept the kinyan of an smachta, there's certainly a smachta kanya. You couldn't have a better bezdin than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And that's why it's considered it's not considered in that case an smachta. There's machloikis, Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam, when he wants to give an example of what is an smachta, says the following example. I say to an individual that if you accompany me to Yerushalayim, I'll give you my house, I'll give you a field. So Rambam says, I didn't really mean to give away my house or my field, and it's an asmachta. The Ramban disagrees. He says an asmachta is only something that's in my control. But when I approach you and I said, if you accompany me to Yerushalayim, I'll give you my house, I'll give you my field, it was never in my power to make that happen or not. And that's why it's not in the category of an asmachta. The two places in the Paiskim speak about an asmachta most often. One is by playing cards. So I'm not going to go into the issue of Masacha Bekuvya. I'm not going to go into the issue of it being an Avera or if it's an Avera. I'm going to speak on a simple level. If somebody's playing cards and he makes a bet, on what basis did he make the bet? That he's going to win. So if he isn't going to, if he knew he's going to lose, he would have never made the bet. So why isn't playing cards by definition an asmachta, and it should not be considered, you should never be able to take my money if I lose the bet? Paiskim discussed the Shiloh, and they give a number of answers. Number one, going back to what I just quoted the Ramban, that something that's not in my control is never an asmachta. When you play a game, it's not in your control completely to win or lose. That's why it's not an asmachta. Another teretz that's given is that anyone who plays cards, as much as, of course, he would only make a bet if he was sure he's going to win, can't be sure he's going to win. When you play a game, you hope to win, but you can't be sure you're going to win. And still you put the money on the table. That's why it's not an asmachta, because you're prepared to lose if that's what happens. You hope not to lose. You hope to be smart enough not to lose, but you know you can never know for sure. The other question that comes up is by a tanoim. In many communities, there's a tanoim. In every community, tanoim are written before chasna. But in many communities, in most communities nowadays, it's written right before a chuppah, when we know that the Baruch Hashem are going to get married. In other communities, the tanoim are written, which was the original custom, when the couple gets married, gets engaged. So now the question is, that's an asmachta. What will be if the couple breaks the marriage, breaks the engagement? Do we have a situation of an asmachta? I got into it on the assumption that it'll happen, but if I would have known that for whatever reason I'm going to break the engagement, I wouldn't have done it? Or is it not considered an asmachta? Because actually in halacha, I don't want to go into it too much today, the halacha doesn't really give us a way out of a tanoim. A marriage, we know, is a get. How do you break a tanoim? Or can one argue that if somebody breaks an engagement, he could argue that there was never an kinyan in the first place because it was an asmachta? So the Rishonim, Taisus discusses it, and other Rishonim say that it's certainly not considered an asmachta. Again, an asmachta that affects another individual, that's not only in my control, and here, if one party breaks the engagement, the other party gets offended, is not considered an asmachta. That's one point that the Paiskim point out. Another point is that usually the tanoim, if you ever read them, have financial implications. That the chasim promises to deliver this, and the kala promises to do that. You can't use the concept of a smachta leikanya when there are financial implications. So we begin now, as I said, the sugya of a smachta leikanya. Om Rav Huna. Says Rav Huna, what did our Mishnah teach us? Our Mishnah taught us that if I borrow money from you, and I put up a piece of property as collateral, and I say that if I don't pay you up, let's say in 3 years, the property should become yours, even though the property is worth more than the loan, the halacha is that that is an acceptable situation. Amrav Huna, b'shas matmos, if at the time I borrowed the money from you, I made the stipulation, kana hakol, it's considered a valid deal. Why is it not considered an asmachta? I only made this condition because I was sure that I'll pay you up. So why isn't it an asmachta? So some Rishonim say, difficult pshat, the Rav Huna is of the opinion that an asmachta kanya. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav Huna, even though he normally, as the Gemara says in Masecht in the Dorim, holds a smachta loy kanya, here, since I'm getting from you money, you're making a loan to me, that gives strength to this deal, and that's why a smachta is kanya. Or, in this case, or because there's an actual transaction going on where I am giving you the field as collateral, that's why here it will be a valid condition. However, lachamat mos, which means as follows. I owe you the money. I gave you the field as collateral. And now I meet you. It's not at the moment of the loan. And I tell you, if I don't pay you up in a timely fashion, the field should be completely yours. And again, the field is worth more than the loan. There we say, I certainly didn't mean to give you the entire field. And you only get in the field the amount that's equal to the loan. Lachamat mos, lekona elkanagim ha'isof. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, I feel la'achamat mos, since I owe you the money, and obviously, why did I tell you at this point that you can have the whole field? Because I recognize I won't have the ability to pay you, and that's why kana hakol, the entire field becomes yours. Ask the Rishonim, how the entire field become yours? If it's said later, at a later date. At a later date, there's no ma'isa kinyan. And we've always discussed that for anything to be valid, we have to have a kinyan. So Rishonim answer, two answers. One answer is, and indeed, we write up a shtar that there should be a valid kinyan, or we have money transferred to make it a valid kinyan. Or other side, we can rely on the original kinyan of when I lent, of when I borrowed the money from you. Says the Gemara, of Rav Nachman of the Rabbi Resh Galusa Kishmatzei. Rav Nachman acted upon this psak that he allowed this deal to stand, even though the stipulation was made after the money was lent. Kari Rabbi Yehuda l'shtari. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're absolutely wrong. Amalei Resh Galusa, so Resh Galusa told Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda kar l'shtarech, you said that this is a valid deal, and I want you to know Rabbi Yehuda ripped up your shtar. Amalei dardeke kari. So Rav Nachman commented, was it an infant that ripped it up? Gavra rabba kari. Rabbi Yehuda is a great person. And if he ripped it up, it must be Chos Beit Tam Vakari, that he had good reason to rip it up. Ikadamri, a different version of the conversation between the Resh Galusa and Rav Nachman. Omle Dadek Kare. Rav Nachman said, even if Yehuda ripped it up, it's like a kid, it's like a child ripped it up. Because he said, the Kur Amla Gabadadi, Bedina, anybody, even Rabbi Yehuda, if you compare him to me, when it comes to Dine Mominus, Dardekininu, is a child. And I don't have to worry about what he does, and I don't have to worry about what he says. Pretty strong. Hadamar of Nachman, then we find phenomenal, fascinating. Here Rav Nachman took such a strong position, and he said, what Rabbi Yehuda did, I don't care. But then Rav Nachman reconsidered. And I saw the Sefer Sharm Tzion Malacha points out how the Gemara is teaching us how a Talmud Chacham is supposed to look at a Dvar Halacha. You shouldn't ever be certain, and you should constantly re-examine if your psak is right. And even though Rav Nachman was so certain that his psak was right, that he said, I don't care what Rabbi Yehuda does, then he reconsidered. And he said, you know what? I'm wrong. Hadam Rav Nachman, not only if I said it after the loan was done, is it meaningless? How even the shas matmos, if when I borrow the money from you, I tell you that, if, and I put up the field as collateral, and I tell you if I don't pay you, the field should become yours. What are all of the reasons that I explained earlier why it should not be considered an asmachta? No, it is an asmachta, loy kanav loy klum, because it's an asmachta. I only gave it to you, but I never assumed that we would come to it. Eisrei Rav L'Rav Nachman, it says in a braisa, in our Mishnah, that where the seller, the lender, tells the borrower, if you don't pay up within 3 years, Hare Yishali, the field that you're putting up as collateral should become mine. And I keep on saying the field is worth more than the loan. It's Hare Yishaloi. It's his. Amalei. So how do you understand our Mishnah? So Rav Nachman says, Ani Oimer, Asmachta Kanya. I held that Asmachta is Kanya. However, then I came to learn that Menyumi Omer Asmachta Loi Kanya. And therefore you can't ask me any questions from the Mishnah. Menyumi is a Tana, and I'm following Menyumi's opinion that Asmachta Loi Kanya, and our Mishnah's case is an Asmachta. Ask the Gemara, however, Menyumi Kashim Asnisen, how will Menyumi understand our Mishnah? Where Menyumi holds Asmachta Loi Kanya, and isn't our Mishnah a situation of an Asmachta? Answers the Gemara, Ibai Seima, one way of understanding our Mishnah is to explain that Masnisen Rabbi Yossi he Dama Asmachta Kanya. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that holds an Asmachta is Kanya. But I, Rav Nachman, hold like Menyumi, who will disagree with our Mishnah that holds Asmachta like Kanya. Ibai Seima, Dama like Knima Akshav. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where not that he said that if the 3 years pass and I don't pay you up, then the property should become yours. And I said it because I never assumed it would happen. I said, right now the property is yours. That's not an asmachta. And that's why, even if you hold normally asmachta like Kanya, in the Mishnah, the field will become his. Amlei Mayinucha Mayshesha Beneder of Chizla Ravashi. So Mayinucha and Mayshesha, the sons of Chizla, said Ravashi. And the Mepharshim point out, we've said this previously, that why were they called Mayinucha Mayshesha? One pshat is that the one that was born first was called Makshisha, and the one that was born later was called Mar Yanuka. One is older, one is younger. Others say just the opposite, that the one who was born first was called Mar Yanuka, because Rav Chisda had him when he was still a young man, and the one that was born later, when Rav Chisda was an older man, was called Makshisha. The Paiskim also discuss, based on this Gemara, if you could give two of your children the same name. Here we see that Rav Chisda had two children that he gave them both the same name. The name was Mar. The only way they were identified was Yanuka and Kshisha, but their real name was Mar. Can you give two children the same name? And there's a Chuvis the Rav Malkiel on this subject, and he says very fascinating. He says originally, because the question comes up, in certain communities, the name Simcha, this is where he discusses it, the name Simcha can be used for a man and can be used for a woman. So let's say somebody who had a father whose name was Simcha, and he has a daughter first. He doesn't want to take any chances. So he calls his daughter Simcha. And then he has a son. So he says, I really want to call my son Simcha. So could he call two of his children with the name Simcha? So Divrei Malkiel says as follows. He says, originally, in the time of the Gemara, we don't find that people would name their children after relatives. They would name children after events that happened in their lives. And therefore, let's say you had two situations that you were besimcha, that you were happy, so you could have two children with the name Simcha. He says later on, people started naming children after relatives. And to name two children in the same family after the same relative is inappropriate. He says, and let's say you're a person that did give a name after an event, not after relative. And in other words, let's say you had two joyful experiences, and therefore you want to give two children the name Simcha. Still, he says, once it became common that people name children because of relatives, even if that wasn't the reason you're naming your children that way, we don't name the same two children in the same family with the same name. He also says it opens itself up to different questions. He says that if you have two brothers with the same name or two sisters with the same name, you could get them mixed up between brothers and sisters and their husbands and their wives, which could lead to different issues, to a kilkel, and that's why the minig is that we don't have two brothers and two sisters or a sister and a brother with the same name. That's our minig. I think it's in all communities, Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Back to our Gemara. Amalei Mar Yenuka Makshesh B'nei Rav Chizdler Vashi. Hocha Amal Nadoi Mishmed Rav Nachman. Haya Smachta Bezmanei. If the time to pay comes, in other words, let's say I owe you money and I put up a field as collateral and now I don't have the ability to pay and I tell you take the field, so it's obvious that what I'm saying is I mean it and it's kanya, but let's say I say it to you before I owe you the money, so obviously I didn't mean it because I'm hoping that I'll be able to pay you and not let you take the field that's worth more than the loan, loy kanya. Amalei, kol midi. Is this the halacha in all situations? The bzmani konei, belay bzmani loy konei? Dil mahachi kamita. Ashkechei, begoy bzmani. If you find me before the debt is due, vamlay konei, and I tell you take it, konei, I mean it. Why do I mean it? Because I didn't have to say it. So if I said it, it must be because I recognized that I will not have the ability to pay you. That's why I tell you, take the field. However, bosses money, let's say the debt is already due, and I don't have the ability to pay you, and I tell you, take it, vomle kone, and I tell you, take the field, loikana. Then I say I didn't mean it. Why? If I owe you the money, if you could argue just the opposite, says the Gemara, my tama, machem sufu de kamale, I'm only saying it to you because I'm embarrassed. Really, I don't want to give you the field. But here the money is already owed. And you approach me and say, you know, you owe me the money. And I don't have any money to pay you. And I know you're sitting on my field as security. So out of embarrassment, I say, keep the field. But I never meant it. However, says the Gemara, V'loihi, that field of God is man in namalei kanei. The halacha is that even if the debt is not yet due, and I tell you, keep the field, I didn't mean it. Why? I didn't have to say it. Because haida kamalei kanei, the only reason I said it, because I already know my financial situation, and I know that the debt is coming due soon, and I know that I don't have any money, and I'm not going to have any money, and therefore the reason I said it is kisover, because I say to myself, I don't want to be put into the embarrassing situation of kimat is money, that when the debt is due, I shouldn't be embarrassed to tell you I don't have the ability, so I tell it to you, but I didn't mean it. Amar Papa, so comments for Papa. Haya smachta, zimnin kanya, v'zimnin loy kanya. Sometimes the smachta is a kinyan, and sometimes it isn't. And he explains. Ashkechei, because shasi shikra. If you find me on the day that I owe you money, drinking wine, it must be that I've given up hope on how to pay you. What do I mean, I'm giving up hope on how to pay you? I say, I have no means to pay you. Keep the field. Ashkechei the kashasi shikra, kani. On the other hand, the kamahapik azuzi. If today is the day that I owe you to pay you up, and I'm trying to find money, I'm trying to find a means to pay you, obviously, why am I looking for money? Because I don't want you to keep the property. And therefore, even if I say keep the property, I don't mean it, and like kani. Amalei Rav Achim Adiftala Ravina, says Rav Dachman Rav Ifta, maybe you could argue just the opposite. Dilma lefuki pachti kashasi. I don't want to give you the field. If I don't want to give you the field, instead of finding money to pay you up the debt that I owe you, why am I drinking? Because people, when they're on trouble, they need a drink to take off the nervousness. Inami, or you know why I'm drinking? Inish achrina asmecha ezuzi. You know why I'm drinking? Because I found somebody else who promised me that he'll lend me money. And with the money he'll lend me, I'll pay up the money I owe you. And that's why I'm in a great mood. I have no problem. And that's why I'm drinking. Not because I'm drinking because I've already forfeited the property. So here we see, point out the Mefarshim, Rashi says it, that the yayin, that a person who's nervous drinks wine, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'yayin yisamach levav enosh. That's why I'm drinking, to take off the nervousness. One point the Pasuk can make, it's relevant l'aloch l'maisam. Here we're saying that a person is drinking to take off the nervousness. But why was he drinking? Shasi shikra. Shichra doesn't mean wine. Shichra means beer. So here, some Paiskim want to argue that wherever the halacha says that you should drink wine, the example that's given is Purim. I don't want to, it's not the, it's a mitzvah that we have to take in moderation, but you have to drink wine on Purim. Perhaps you don't have to drink wine. Let's say you want to drink a different alcoholic beverage. You can, because here the Rashi's quoting the words v'yayin yisamach, and yet the Gemara says shasi shichra. So we see that shichra and yayin can be substituted for each other. And that's what some Paiskim indeed say. Here we see that what does wine accomplish? The wine accomplishes that a person should be happy. So I saw the Mefarshim say, we know that the Bnei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, died. The Pasuk says that they brought an Eish Zara. The Medrash says, on the Pasuk by Krivam Eish Zara, Hahu Diksiv Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchei Lev. So the Mefarshim asks, what is the connection between the Pasuk of Eish Zara, that they brought a fire that they weren't supposed to the Pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchei Lev? So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Cheshiv Sofer. He says as follows. There is a pshat, Rashi I think quotes it, that what was the Eish Zara? That they entered in the base of to the Mishkan, Shesuye Yayin. They drank wine before they entered to do the Avodah. And that was a terrible Avera for which they ultimately were killed. The question is, why is it such a terrible Avera? Why is it such a terrible Avera that they drank wine? That the Torah is so strict about it. The answer is, says the Cheshiv Sofer, they knew that a person, before he comes to do Avodas Hashem, as the Kohanim are about to do, have to be besimcha. And as Al Gemara just taught us, what is the purpose of wine? The Pasuk says, V'yayin yisamach l'vavenish. So they went and drank wine to get into the right mood. But that's not the way you're supposed to get into the right mood before Avodas Hashem. Torah! Mitzvahs! By learning Torah, by doing mitzvahs. That's how you come. If you have an appreciation for a geshmak ishtikl Torah, if you have a geshmak in doing a mitzvah, that's the simcha. The Eish Zara was that they were looking for outside influences, foreign influences to make them happy. And the Pasuk says you shouldn't look for wine, for foreign influences to make you happy. Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chelev. The Bnei Aaron with the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, that they were going to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what should have brought them to this happiness. And that's why it was considered an Eish Zara, that they were deserving of death. Ela Mervina, Ikapit B'dami, if we see that this person has other properties, and when he's looking to sell the properties to pay up his debt, he's being tough, and he's saying that I want my full price, there we say Vadei Kani. That he must have said that if I don't get my price, I'll let the lender keep the property that I put up as security. Who said that that's his thinking? Maybe his thinking is, you know why he's being tough? Because he knows that if he shows any weakness when he sells the property, people will realize that he's a person under financial pressure and they'll start taking advantage of him. But not that he means to give up the property they put up as security. Elara Papa, Ikapit Ba'ara, if he's saying, I won't sell any other piece of property, Vadakana. Why is he not ready to sell any other piece of property? Because it must be that he forfeited this property already to the lender. Vamara Papa, Afagav Duram Rabbonin, even though we're learning Smach de Loikanya, Apoiteke Hava Lamigmimine. If we're learning now, not like our Mishnah, let's just review, that if I gave you a piece of property as security for a loan, and I said to you that if I don't pay you up when the loan is due, you could keep the entire piece of property, even though it's worth more than the loan. So we're saying that what I said I didn't mean, because it's Smach de Loikanya. You do have right to collect from that piece of property first, as an apoyteki. An apoyteki, as I said at the beginning of this year, is a apoyteki koi. You have a first mortgage on this piece of property. Amalei Rav Huna b'Reidu Rav Nosson l'Rav Papa, mi kama le kana l'gvaina. Did I ever say it Did I ever designate it as an apayta key? Amalei mazut b'rei de Rav Miori l'Ravina. The amakani l'migma minei. And if I did say it, does it make a difference? Aren't we learning soif soif a smachtihi? Isn't this in a situation of a smachta? V'smachta loikanya? El apayta key dekamer apapa mahi. What does apapa mean when he says it's an apayta key? The amalei, it must be that I meant lo yehei l'cha proin el mazu, that I did mean with my words. There must be some meaning to my words. The words I used were to mean that you should have first mortgage on this property. Says the Gemara, another incident. Somebody sold a piece of property to someone else with a chrayas. Not like the beginning of the shiur. What does that mean? That means I sold you a piece of property and I said to you that should my creditor come and take this property away from you, the halacha is that I have to replace it. Now normally, and I think we learned this in Masechta Bava Kamma, the halacha is, where do you have, what prop, if this were to happen, that I sold you a piece of property and my creditor takes it away from you, which property do you have recourse back to me from? Beinonis. But I saw, but I wasn't happy with it, you weren't happy with that, and I said to you, Amalei, I told you, if the property will be taken away from you, Magnusle, you have a right to take from me. Me'idya idis, you asked me that you should have a right to collect from my idis. Again, as I said, you really halakhically have a right only to collect from my beinanis, but you asked, you made a stipulation that you should have a right to take from my best of the best property. Amalei, so I'm paying attention to what you're saying. And I tell you, No, I'm not ready to give you the idjis. However, the bina l'mekim kamoi, I want to hold on to that very choice property. El megvinalach me'igvis acherim de'isli. Idjis, I'm letting you take. Says the Gemara, l'soif tarfuminei. And indeed, that's what happened. The piece of property that I sold to you was taken away to you from my, taken away from you by my creditors. Asa bitka. But what happened in the meantime was that a flood came, shok l'idya idjis, and took my idya idjis and ruined it. And it was no longer my choicest property because it was ruined by the flood. Savra papala meima, me'idjis amalei. The piece of property that was originally idjis is still by me. And therefore, there's a lien on that piece of property. Valkaima. And therefore, you should have a right to take that piece of property. Amalei, Rav Ahmed Diftaler Vina, Vilaimalei, I should be able to argue, Ki Amriloch and No Magbinaloch, when did I designate the Idjis as the piece of property that you could collect from? When I had better property. To have the Idjis Kaima. When I had better property, so it said, my best property I'm not going to give you, my second property I'm ready to give you. However, Hashtun, now this property that was previously my second best, is now my best. Hash the kamalei idjis v'mokim idi idjis. And therefore, I don't have to give it up. However, the Yishayim point out that the only time this halacha applies that I don't have to give up the idjis is because I was very clear in my intentions that I told you I don't want to give away my best property. But we had this dialogue. Had I not said that, if I designated a piece of property that you could collect from, even though when I designated it, it wasn't my best, and now it's my best, it doesn't make a difference. The Meiri makes another point. He says, the Gemara is saying, let's review what happened here. I had Idjis, and then I had Beninus and Zaburius. But what happened because of the flood is my Idjis is no longer the Idjis, and now I only have the Idjis. But I have other Idjis. But let's say I didn't have any Idjis at all. I only have poor quality property. I can't send you to the poor quality property. Since I did agree to some degree to your request that you should get better than what you normally deserve, I can't give you what you normally deserve. Because otherwise, the deal that we made turns out to be meaningless. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Vashva have a massive bear of Kahana Zuzi. Rabbi Vashva owed somebody money. Amalei, and he told him, Eloi Purina Loch Liyoin Ploini, if I don't pay you up by that day, Gover my Chamra, you could collect from this wine. Savar Papa Lamema. So our Papa wanted to say, Ki Aminin, we've been learning in our Shir, that a smach the loikanya, hani mili ba'ara, strictly by property, the lavos vunikaima. People don't normally sell off their property. So when I told you you'll be able to keep the property, I really didn't mean it. Av chamra, when it comes to wine, kivin the lozvinukoi, people do sell wine, kizuze dummy, it should be considered like cash, and therefore halacha should be that you should be able to collect from the wine. Amrei, Rabhuna Bered Ravishul Rapapa, Hachaminin Mishmei Derova, call the E. Whenever I say if, but I don't assume that we should ever get to it, it falls onto the category of an Asmachta and Asmachta Lekanya. Omer Rav Nachman, Hash the Omer Abonin, Asmachta Lekanya, now that we've established the Asmachta Lekanya, Had the Ara for Had the Peri, that the property goes back. Lememra, the Sover of Nachman, does that mean that Rav Nachman is of the opinion that Mechila Betos lo have a Mechila? That I assumed that you were allowed to get the property, but since it was done under mistake, it's meaningless. If I sell you the fruits of a tree that haven't yet emerged, if they haven't yet emerged, I can retract. Once they came out, from Nachman Amar, even if they came out, from Rav Nachman said, Medina, the Shamit V'Ochel, that if the person went and took it, so we see that a Mechila B'Tos is considered a Mechila, and so the Gemara, we can't compare the situations. Hasm Zvina, if I sold something to you, and it wasn't really a Mechira, but if I make the mistake and I let you keep it, it's considered a kinyan. Here we're referring to halva, where there's an issue of mechsi karibis, is treated more strictly, and if there's a mechila metas, it's not a mechila, and therefore, if you can't keep the property that I pledged to you, that will be kept if I don't pay you up when the money is due.